On the road, in the car, or settled back with a jar. I always has one at 11. ABC local radio, that's where you are. Can you smell the liniment? Feel the butterflies, it's match day. And you're on your way with the Caribbean champions, Jeffy, the team. If you please.
Thank you and good morning, Unc. Yes, I'm Jeff Richardson. You're listening to the Caribbean champions on ABC local radio. On the World Wide Web, on the digital stream, however you're hearing us, great to have you with us. And while we're talking networks and our global range, let's go all the way up to the Hunter Valley where Ian Cover joins us from the Newcastle studios. Good morning to you, Covey.
Good morning, Richo. Good morning, Coley's. Good morning, footy fans.
Covey, have you had a sea change?
Oh, and I've just been up here doing a bit of work. It's a good thing I can talk to you over the wireless.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was a bit worried I mightn't be able to see you. I think that that volcanic ash has drifted down from Iceland. No, actually, it's a nice bright sunny day here in Newcastle. I've woken to news on the front page of the Weekend Herald. I'll share with you in a moment, but perhaps you might want to...
We'll come back to you for that shortly. Torch McGee, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Richo, and good morning to everyone out there. And Covey, any sign of Troy Luff?
That's a very good question.
He's a Nelson Bay boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Billy Baxter, good morning to you.
Good morning, listeners. Good morning, Cove. Good morning, colleagues here in the studio.
And Greg Champion, good morning to you.
Hello, footy world.
Torchy.
Yes.
I have been at Nelson Bay.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But there's no big Troy Luff as you drive into town.
There should be. Yeah.
Now, what was the most distinctive thing about Troy Luff?
Hair? London could have been player of the year.
Yeah, I would have thought the blonde hair.
Yeah.
The mop.
Look, after last night's events at Sablako, I've got two words to say to you all.
Yeah. Do they concern Essendon?
Big Carl.
Big Carl.
Now, everyone's getting very excited about the young Eagles ruckman.
I think he's known as
Now in his second year. But I reckon he arrived, as they say in football, last night, and everyone's excited about how well he played. I reckon to find a comparative situation where a teenage ruckman has made an impact, you've got to go all the way back to Big Carl's first game for St Kilda in, when was it?
Back in 63, I think, against Melbourne at the Junction Oval.
Yeah, you won't have seen it, of course, Covey.
No, not last night. Actually, Nick... No, I tell you what I did see... that the Knights hard man has earned a new 2-year contract.
Oh, the Newcastle Knights.
Yeah.
I was thinking of somebody, it must have been somebody on the Essendon list.
Actually, Nick Natanui, I think, has arrived about every time he plays, he arrives.
Well, this is why you needed to see last night, which, of course, you won't have seen being up in the Hunter Valley. But, yes, he's looked exciting every time he's done anything since he started last year.
Right.
But... last night was the best game he's ever played. And he influenced the game every time he touched the ball. All I could think of was Big Carl dominating against another first gamer, Graham Wise.
Right. Yes.
Wise.
And now that's nearly 50 years ago.
Yeah. Wise. Yeah.
He took the game apart, and when he went near the ball, the crowd rose.
Yeah.
Got excited in advance.
That's right. That's why it had a bit of the blonde bombshell about it. Of course, we have to come up with some other name.
That's true, but the hair does feature.
Yeah, hair features.
That's right.
So Troy Luff has a connection, albeit oblique.
Now I want Big Nick Natanui to get in a blue like Big Carl.
Actually, that'll do, champs. Perhaps people just should start calling him Big Nick. I don't think Big Nick himself would mind.
We were a little unkind.
Big Nick Mark too.
Yeah. We were a little unkind to the young chappie from Richmond on his debut,
Ben Nason.
Nason, about his haircut. Big Carl didn't get the same thing, did he? Didn't get a haircut.
He was called the blonde bombshell. And somehow Big Nick gets a free pass for his hair.
Now, just apart from Nick Natanui, obviously starring last night, did the Eagles lead all night?
No.
A very short time.
The Essendons hit the front briefly during the first quarter.
Right.
Yeah. They went right away with it, got about 5, 6, 7 out in front, 7 plus, and then the Eagles, the Bombers kicked the last 4 or so.
Thank you for filling me in, because I'm not finding it anywhere in the in the Newcastle Herald. That's all. I have found a story that the Roos have a formula to defeat Sydney.
Yes. That's based on Brad Scott's time at Collingwood.
Yes, it says here, North Melbourne coach Brad Scott says he will use the tricks he learned at Collingwood to help his players conjure an AFL victory. Are they getting David Copperfield here?
Yeah. I'll tell you another thing for free. Mm. The whole hype surrounding Big Nick and his game last night, what a breath of fresh air after a week of things dominating the football news that were actually not to do with the game. We've had event after event after event that's been to use a phrase of a famous Australian, brouhaha'd out of existence. And then finally we have something last night, just a fantastic teenage footballer bursting on the scene.
That'll last us about 24 hours and then we can get back to the brouhaha, because that's all that happens these days. The biggest story here about AFL is about a chap called Fev.
Yes, that's another
that's
one.
All over the place.
Yes, you can have plenty of brouhaha there if that's what you're looking for.
Covey, I'll give you a line and you tell me which player we're talking about. Often said, could be the story of the year.
Are we talking about a player?
Yes.
Well, Nick Natanui sounds like he is the story.
Well, he's at Geelong, this player. And twice at least I've seen him print when he was drafted recently. Yeah. And then again last weekend, could be the story.
James Podsy-Ardley.
Podsy-Ardley. Now, there's a question for you. Why is A-D-L-Y pronounced Ardley?
Is he from Adelaide?
Yeah.
Because I heard
go to Adelaide.
Commentators going with Podsy-Ardley. And I thought, what's the logic?
Here's another question for you. If the could be the story of the year becomes the story of the year, will it officially be a fairy tale?
It should be. It should be, Richo, because G played well. He looked like he belonged, Cove.
And he's got a great pair of hands.
Yes.
He takes a contested
mark. A lovely kick, but he had a couple just went awry last.
He's a left
Sunday
footer.
Afternoon.
Something just occurred to me.
Yes.
If it's dance and chance, why isn't it Adelaide instead of Adelaide?
We're working on it.
Hey, listen, ring Ross Booth if you're listening. Yeah. Ross, 1-300-222-774. Ross Booth would have called James Podsy-Ardley more than anyone else in VFL matches on ABC television.
Yeah,
we should find from Ross whether he's been going with Adley or Ardley all this time.
Yeah, look, Andy's ringing Ross right now.
Good.
Hey, next weekend's Anzac round, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Just getting back to the forward from the Brisbane Lions.
Good, a bit of brouhaha.
Just a bit of forward notice. Anyone who's running a two-up school on that weekend, if you see a big hairy bloke coming toward you, just keep the swy to yourself. Don't pass it over.
If he pops you in the headlock, don't give in.
This is funny sitting in a remote studio and hearing Billy doing material like that. I feel like I'm lying on a bed in the old days at home at Ocean Grove and I'm listening to Triple R.
Well, I hope you feel like that for a long time to come.
Now, Kobe, the most important thing, the most important news that you have to give us out of Newcastle is, how many coal ships lined up to get into the port?
Yes. Oh, what's happened with that queue of coal ships?
Would you like to play nearest the pin?
I'll go for 104.
Because I know the answer.
104 I'll go for.
Lower.
I'm going for 7, Cove.
No, higher.
60.
Getting very, very warm.
Oh, jeez.
I was going to go with 57.
Well, just a little bit less than that.
53.
One less than that. 52.
51.
52. Good. Well done.
In the draw to the jack competition.
Yeah. Torch actually did the drive through and knocked the jack out of the way.
How do you know there's 51 ships waiting?
Because he just has to look out and count them.
Because I was told that by a man the other day when he took me up to the lookout. And I said, Are they ships?
Were you up at Shortland Bluff there?
No, I was up at a lookout overlooking Nelson Bay.
You can see them from Nelson Bay.
Have you been out on the briny blue cove?
Yeah, several times. Billy and I had a
Did you bring up the day's takings?
No, I had a quiet moment and thought about you. You had a bit of a Pacific swell happening. This will bring Baxter undone.
Well, you get told things a lot when you go to Newcastle, like you've been told about the coal ships. Have you been told that the footy league up there in Newcastle is the longest and oldest surviving Australian football league in Australia?
didn't need to come here and have that told me, because you've told me that for that last 25 years, and you've done it again. And I'll tell you something, there's news here of it on page 89 of the Herald this morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah. RAF 1 have beaten RAF 2.
No, the Cardiff player coach Michael Ryan has issued a warning to the rest of the Black Diamond AFL. Star recruit Justin Blumfield is not even close to showcasing his full talent yet.
Oh, wow.
The former Essendon Premiership winner played his first game in 3 years last week in the Hawks. 202-point win over Lake Macquarie.
Oh, dear.
I think there might be trouble down there. Lake Macquarie.
I think Lake Macquarie are obviously rebuilding. How are the RAF going? They always put a reasonable side on the field.
Well, that match today featuring Cardiff, Justin Blumfield's side, they're playing against Warners Bay at Bill Elliott Oval.
Oh, good
he old. Started life as Billy Elliott. As he grew up, he became Bill. Soon he'll be William Elliott. The other matches, Chorts, I wouldn't mind your selections here. Newcastle City face Terrigal Avoca at Hilton Moore Oval.
Oh, I think I'll go for the home team there, Kev.
Okay. Gosford are at home to Lake Macquarie.
Oh, I think there's definitely Gosford. Lake Macquarie are in a rebuilding.
Can't get on, apparently.
That's right.
And Killarney Vale play Wyong Lakes.
Ooh, maybe I'll go for Wyong Lakes in that one, in an upset.
Well, they're listening, and that'll really pump up Killarney Vale. That bloke from down south has got no idea. Can I tell you, Justin Blumfield, first kick last week was an attempt at goal. Where did it go?
Out on the full.
Correct. But he scored his first of five majors a minute later.
He was also doing special comments for the ABC, wasn't he, Justin Blumfield?
I think he still is.
Well, he had some good company, Covey, out on the full with his first few kicks last week at the Melbourne Crows game, which I might say for the second hour of the program, with Mr. B. Burton having three pings in the first quarter too. But
why save it for the second hour of the program?
because I wanted to chapter verse on it and a little bit more too.
Oh, yeah. And look, let's take our hats off to the D's. I mean, they should be 2-1 at the minute.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I wish they were.
A lot of people wish they were.
You know what, Kobe?
Yeah.
I've got one thing to say to champs. Yeah. MPTC.
More pain to come. More pain to come.
Well, I tell you what, there was a bit of pain being had by Demon supporters. I actually found a television on Sunday afternoon that actually showed that game up here.
Yes.
And I saw the D's doing everything within their power.
Cove, it was in the last quarter. It was here, you have the game. No, you have it. No, you have it. No, I insist.
After you.
Nip and Tuck actually took their leave.
I tell you what, speaking of things televisual, apparently the game between the Swans and the Tigers was beaten by the Iron Chef again last week.
Well, a lot of plays being made of this. That's another bit of brouhaha. I mean, honestly, who could care less how many people watched the game live to air? I was actually at the SCG last Saturday night. The atmosphere was fantastic. Yeah. There's a huge crowd there. And here's something that the rest of the footy world can have a look at, and they can have a look at for free. You know what happens after the final siren at the SCG?
They get on the ground, they have a kick.
That's exactly what they do.
Yes. So, a few other grounds that could take a leaf out of that book.
Yeah. Mm. The whole of the SCG just fills up with people, just like in the olden days, such as 4 years ago, having a kick out on the ground.
Maybe the Tigers should wait until after the game to get on the ground to get a kick.
Well, see, this is another bit of brouhaha. After, as you would have watched it very closely, Torch, after quarter time, it was, 10-7? Very even game.
It's second. In fact, I think Richmond won their first quarter for the year quarter.
I'll tell you who impressed me this.
Quite an entertaining game.
This week, Jeffrey, it's the coach of the Richmond team, who I haven't heard speak a great deal, but he very much impressed me in the press.
Well, given his competition, you know, he didn't swear, he didn't deny it, he didn't change his story.
He's a straight shooter.
Kobe?
Yeah.
Back at the Melbourne Adelaide game for a sec?
Yeah.
I saw it too. I got four words for you. NGAF. Not a good advertisement for football.
I found it very enjoyable. It didn't. It had drama. The only thing lacking was brouhaha.
It didn't have bait drama
ability.
It had It had exasperation.
It had excruciation.
Well, it had you on the edge of your seat.
No, it was very good stuff. Yeah. And so, Richo, you were up there last week.
I was up there last week.
Pity you weren't staying at the team hotel.
Well, I went by there. I went back to, you know, Circular Quay with a few Richmond people afterwards.
Did you walk back down Darlinghurst Road?
No. Got the cab back to Circular Quay and then got the ferry.
At Oxford Street, you cut across.
At that stage, it all was quiet. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, that SCG for the night game is fabulous.
That's great.
Approaching the ground, the buzz was just sensational. I think they're doing a lot right there, both the Swans and the people running the SCG.
Yeah. Any sign of Sheeds?
No. And would you expect him to be there? It's enemy territory. Unless he was going to get up in the stand and wave a Greater Western Sydney jacket over his head.
He was probably there in disguise, Jeffy. He probably had a Groucho nose and glasses on and a curly wig.
I fully expected to see him in Newcastle this morning because he's supposed to be everywhere.
One of the things about the SCG, I reckon you get the best view of the footy at any ground in Australia.
You're very close to the fence. You are very close to the fence.
Yes. Yeah.
No.
I'm talking about major city grounds.
Yeah.
That will all change tomorrow. You can show me a SCG and I'll raise you a new premiership stand at Cadinia Park tomorrow.
Right. A new premiership.
I've had a sneak peek from the new pivots room. And it's magnificent, the view.
Where is it? For people who may not have been to Cadinia Park for some time, using the old nomenclature, whereabouts is it?
It's to the right of the Brownlow stand from whence the ABC broadcast. So it's sort of like between wing and half forward going towards... It takes in part of the old Ross Drew stand and the old past players stand.
Oh, so that funny little... That sort of almost toy stand that was the past players' stand.
And the TPI stand. Sort of on the half-forward flank toward the Bowen River end of the ground.
Oh, and around to where the police horse used to come out.
That's what I was going to say, that little gap where the police horse used to come out and where more recent times the golf cart would come out.
Correct.
Just where I threw that apple.
Okay, I've got it. So we'll actually get to see this tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be open tomorrow, and as well they'll be unfurling the flag from last year, and Tom Harley will make a farewell lap.
In a golf cart or an actual car?
I think he'll go in a car.
Might be a sponsor's car.
Sponsor, yeah.
Hey, Cove, what's the current capacity of the ground now with this stand?
It'll take it up to 30,000, Billy.
Is that enough to host a final?
If we look at the records, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, if you were to have a typical Port Adelaide versus anyone final, it could be easily accommodated. It's 26 minutes to 12 o'clock.
Hickory dickory dock. Crivens, look at the clock. Midday, it's noon. Get out there and kick the dew off the grass. The 12 o'clocks. Please let them pass.
Yeah, they'll be clattering down the race with their stops, Unc, in a very short amount of time. Now, the 12 o'clocks every week, we go round the football universe and just check on how the 12 o'clock game is shaping up. This morning, we're going to Eden Hope Apsley, and they've got a rookie playing coach for the Magoos up there in the Horsham and District Footy League. Stephen Brown joins us on the line. Good morning, Stephen. Welcome to the Kudamans.
Morning, fellas. How are you going?
Yeah,
we're going well. And look, congratulations on your first game as coach.
Thank you, mate. Thank you, mate. Congratulations on the song. You've done well.
Now, had you coached at all before?
I've coached juniors before, but it'll be a different kettle of fish today, I'm sure.
So let me picture this. You've coached a junior side and then got stripped and run out and played for the seniors an hour or so later?
Correct. Yep.
But now you're actually having to coach with the footy boots on and play at the same time.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch my breath while I'm speaking, I'm sure.
Have you got some assistance on the boundary, keeping an eye on things?
Yeah, I've actually grabbed the under-17 coach, and he'll help me on the boundary throughout the day. So
he'll have the magnet board?
He'll have the magnet board, and he'll be wearing the fluoros too to run. So
puts a bit of pressure on you.
Interesting.
Put some pressure on you, doesn't it, Stephen? You have to hold your end up as a player, yet have your smarts.
I hope so. That's the plan, but we'll see how we go.
How'd you go last year as a player?
No, I had a knee operation at the end of last year, so that's the main reason. I wasn't that sure that I was going to play, so I thought I'd coach. But we seem to have had a fair drop-off of players even during the week this week, so I've had to pull the boots on. So
Is that because people are leaving town? Or
No. We just had injuries and unavailability. We've got a few blokes that work on the DC. They're still burning. And then there's uni guys who've just taken back and couldn't get back this weekend. So,
Who are you playing?
We're playing Taylor's Lake, which is just outside of Horsham.
Not to be confused with Taylor's Lakes.
No.
Okay, now Eden Hope Apsley. I remember a time when Eden Hope were a standalone side. How long have you been in the combine?
Actually, 2000, I think.
Okay, what
99, I've just been told.
Oh, so you've got 11-year tradition to uphold here, Stephen. What jumpers do you wear?
Sorry? We wear St Kilda jumpers.
And how good?
We were wearing Port jumpers because we were in the K&T League across the border, but when we came to Horsham District League 3 years ago, we've moved into the Saints jumpers.
Oh, that's a relief.
Couldn't wait to get rid of those Port jumpers,
I bet. Exactly. They were absolutely terrible. Who made that decision?
Coming to the Horsham District League, of course, means you've got a fair bit of travel from Eden Hope.
It's the furthest we go is into Great Western, which is just outside of Stawell.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, you only sort of go there once a year, and it's actually quite good fun getting away from here and a bit of travelling and bus trips and all that sort of stuff. So
nice wine at Great Western as well.
Yeah, well, I haven't actually had that pleasure yet, but I'm sure we will one day.
Maybe you'll be drinking some of it out of a Premiership Cup at the end of the season.
With any luck, mate, we've actually recruited really well up the top in the A grade, so hopefully that filters down and we can have a good year.
Have you got a netball side in combo with the footy club too?
We do, and they're generally more successful than we are. They played in grand final last year and they won the B grade and they played off in the A grade, and the junior netball club's really successful too. So
tremendous! Now I can hear whistles.
We live off them a little bit.
I can hear whistles going in the background. Is that the netball or is that
the under 17 footy game's on? You'll hear car horns as well.
Well, we should actually do the weekly car horn test. Anybody out there at Eden Hope Apsley, lean on the horns right now so we can.
There we go. Two people listening. Yeah.
And your opponents, Taylor's Lake. What jumpers do they wear?
They're red with a white V, so they're like South Melbourne jumpers, but opposite.
Oh, that's a good look.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
we've got a Taylor's Lakes over here. You can only afford one lake there.
What are they like? How did they go last year, Steve?
We're probably middle of the road, and they're probably about the same as us, so it'll be an interesting day for you all around.
What's after this?
Sorry?
The line just opened up there from Newcastle for a moment. don't be put off. Now, how are the under-17s travelling out there at the moment? Can you see the scoreboard from where you are?
Yeah, I can. At the moment, we're 16 goals up, about halfway through the
quarter.
Oh,
that's nice.
They're a bit short, but it's good to see them out there and having a go. So
totally.
And the thing about junior footy is just about being out there.
Yeah, and you've got full numbers for your side coming up at 12 o'clock?
Yeah, we do.
So none of the under-17s will have to go around again?
They might be one. We're just waiting on a clearance at the moment, so we'll just see if that can come through. Otherwise, there will be one of them running around.
Someone will run through the gate puffing and panting with the clearance papers in their hand.
They're over in the secretary's office working it out now, I think, clicking buttons.
What about your senior team, Stephen? How are they expected to go?
Yeah, we're going really well, and hopefully we can have a... I think we've recruited to the club of around 15 players. So, that's filtered through.
That's good.
That's big.
Pretty well. And, blokes from around the area who've been to training, this is a really good feeling around the club at the moment. So,
I know all the Taylor's Lake people will be listening to the show.
Yep.
You may not want to answer this question, but clearly you've set the magnet board up already. Where have you put yourself?
No, I'm in the forward pocket at the moment. I can watch everything from there.
Oh, good. You'll be minding the back pockets then.
No, we've got a gun full forward, actually, who used to play for Taylor's Lake. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes.
Oh, so has he given you all the insight on them?
Not yet. I haven't had a word to him yet. But
you've got 20 minutes.
I'm hoping we won't need it.
Best of luck.
We'll just worry about what we're doing.
Yeah, that's the right attitude, Stephen.
Thank you, mate.
Look, all the best and congratulations on this. It's a big day.
Thank you very much.
First day as playing coach.
Yep.
Stephen Brown there at Eden Hope Apsley in the Horsham and District Football League.
See you, Brownie.
12 o'clock's kicking off in just a tick. Thanks, Steve. What a beauty. Mm. I could tell.
The essence of football, right there.
I could see in your eyes, Billy, you were wishing that you were pulling on the boots as playing coach somewhere or other.
Yeah, and they sound open to offers. They're travelling very well, and they've got a full complement of under 17.
Under 17.
He's given us a pearl or two. That there's a really good feeling around the club at the moment. Mm. That's nice to hear.
Yeah, better than having a really bad feeling around the club. Now would be a good time to hit the phones if you want to participate in today's quiz. Now, it's not going to be Covey's quiz. It's going to be Billy's quiz.
Billy's Bafflers.
We looked into it, and we tried to get ABC Network switching to handle it for us, but running the quiz from the Newcastle studios was just too much of a burden on the network. So, Billy...
No, that's not the real story. I couldn't be bothered.
The only had one question, was how many coal ships are lined up outside of Newcastle?
Yeah, and I've used it.
If you could have perhaps got your hands on another packet of Quells, Covey, you might have been all right to do the quiz. But I'm doing it for you today. And
thank you.
I think it'll be all right. It's Billy's Bafflers, and I'm just a little worried about the algebra question because I was never much good at maths at school. You were the whiz there, but I'll try not to let you down, Ian.
Thank you very much, Billy. I'm sure... It'll be outstanding.
1-300-222-774 is the number. 1-300-222-774. Dial now and you can be just like a coal ship and get yourself in the queue for Billy's Bafflers. You're with the Coulda Beans. More coming up in a tick.
Linked by genes and blood. Fate's hand might have dealt him a dud. They might have got sick of the mud, blood, sweat and tears. But the bros of the pros have endured the years and stamped their own name on club souvenirs. The siblings to the stars, oh brother, where art thou?
Very good question that the Unc poses, and one that we answer or attempt to answer each week here on the Coulda Been Champions, tracking down the brothers of distinguished footballers. Todd Viney, champs, recruited from?
Sturt.
Correct. And Sturt also is the home of his brother, Jay Viney. And Jay played 23 games for Melbourne between 88 and 91, and he joins us online right now. Good morning, Jay.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are we?
We're good.
Well, for once.
Now, tell us what you're doing now.
Happily retired these days, just following my children around the sporting field at the moment. So,
Dad's taxi.
Exactly, exactly. And so, very busy at it.
What are your children playing?
I've got a young son who's heavily into his footy and cricket, so summer and winter we're certainly very busy travelling around Adelaide and interstate occasionally.
Okay, well, yeah, the father-son rule, I don't know about the 23 games.
Not quite.
Did you go to Melbourne prior, or did you both go there at the same time, you and Todd?
No, Todd went in 87, and I turned up there in 88. I got drafted in 88.
So the draft was in full flight by that stage, so it was you could have easily gone somewhere else.
Well, I was pretty lucky to get where I was going, I think.
Do you remember what number you were taken?
No, I was down the bottom end from memory, but can't remember what number, but down the back end of it.
But that must have been a tremendous feeling to realise you were going to be playing in the same AFL club as your brother.
No, it was. I was very lucky to be involved with the Melbourne Footy Club at that time. I mean, it was a very strong club during those years. Especially just being with Todd, because I hadn't spent much time with Todd over the previous years because he'd been away playing tennis. So, finally hooked up and played a few games together.
What was your place of origin in South Australia?
I grew up in a place called Fruville, which is the eastern suburbs.
Fruville, tiny little suburb up there on Glen Osmond Road?
Correct.
In fact, it's about 4 streets square.
Yeah, it's not very big. Yeah.
Just not to, but a nice close walk to the Arkaba.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, only a couple of minute jog to the Arkaba. So,
And kind of in the Sturt Norwood district.
Yeah, very much the Sturt district. Yeah. My father spent a lot of years at Sturt and uncles and so on. So we had a fair base at the Sturt Footy Club.
And you ended up captaining North Adelaide.
As well, yeah.
And you would have had plenty to do with our hero and favourite man, Barry Robren?
I did. I was lucky enough to meet Barry at North Adelaide, and he was involved at the club, but he's a true gentleman and a true champion, that guy. Yeah.
He sure is, isn't he?
You played 23 games for the Demons, Jay. In your last season, how many did you play?
The last season was probably my best. I probably played about 12 or 13, I reckon, around that mark.
Okay. And why did you leave the year after?
I was told to leave.
Oh. After your best year, they told you to leave.
Who delivered the message? Was it Swooper at that stage?
No, I didn't ever have word to John. No, John was a coach, but the general manager shot the bullet. King, I can't remember his name. I've forgotten his surname now.
So it wasn't Cameron at that point.
No, Swab recruited me. Cameron Swab recruited me.
Yeah.
Tony King.
Tony King, that's one, yeah.
Now, according to our records here, Joe, you played 88, 90 and 91, but there seems to be a big gap in 89. What happened there?
89, I went across as an 18-year-old to play my first season in 88. 89, I had a few injuries and got reported a few times. And then sort of found my feet in 90, I reckon I was. Started playing, I won the reserves best and fairest and started playing a few league games that year.
Because when you arrived, Melbourne were a very exciting side. You know, there were some players in the team that you just go to watch. They were fabulous. That's from a spectator's point of view. How did you find it as a player? Who were the players you enjoyed playing alongside?
Rod Grinder was a great character. Alan Johnson was a tremendous little player. You know, we had some real characters. I mean, obviously Jimmy Steins and Gary Lyon and Brett Lovett.
We also played with Darren Bennett, which he went on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, Darren played, yeah.
You rattle off all those names, Jay. It's a fair side, isn't it?
Yes, no, it was. Especially in those days. As you know, we lost the 89 grand final.
Yes.
And then we was in the final series after that. But, that was a very stubby side. So I had a bit of trouble getting into the regular job there towards the end of the career.
Did you play any finals?
No, I got dropped twice for the final series in 1991 for the first eliminations there.
Yeah, that must be a shocking feeling for a footballer where finals is what you play for, and then on the eve of the finals you find yourself out of the side. How did you handle it at the time?
Not very well. There's always a senior player managed to come back in at the wrong time for me. So I always sort of seemed to fill a hole. We never can really cement a position. And when a senior player came back in, generally he got the nod before I did.
Yeah. Now, Joe, there's one player I want to ask you about. I wish he was still playing. Alan Jakovic.
Jacko, what a freak.
He was. I mean,
he was.
In modern football, how can a bloke his build and his size, how I think he still holds the best goal-kicking average for goals kicked per games played of anyone who's ever played. Yeah,
he was an extremely extremely clever football player, believe it or not. We did a fair bit of one-on-one back in those days. You know, the coach would kick the ball to you and you have to sort of compete and then try and keep the goal. And I was pretty good at that sort of event, or training event. And it went with him one day, and he absolutely kicked 10 goals straight on me, I think.
So, you just couldn't stop him getting the ball?
No, he was extremely strong, and he sort of, you could kick him left or right from any angle. He was a very talented player.
Have you maintained any friendships from your days down there at the MCG?
We have. I get back to the past players function, every second year. I try and get back for that. I sort of catch up with the guys generally when they're in town. Not as often as I would like.
Mm.
I spend a lot of time, with the Glenn Lovetts and Andy Lovells and the Phoebes and stuff like that. And through, Todd as well. He's been obviously good mates with, the Rod Grinters and those sort of guys. So we seem to catch up, once or twice a year.
Now, Todd's working at the Crows at the moment as an assistant, so he's clearly totally a Crow man for the moment. But how about yourself? Do you see yourself as a Demon?
Oh, always, yes. No, first love is my Demons. And then obviously I sort of caught on with the Hawthorn success when Todd was coaching there. So we sort of, my son and I and my daughter sort of started following the Hawthorn footy club as well. So,
no particular warmth for the Crows there?
No,
Jay?
Not at all, no.
That's a bit sad.
Do you still follow Sturt in the Sandful, Jay?
Not as much. I mean, I keep an eye on the scores and what's going on, but I haven't been out to a home game I didn't go at all last year, to the truth.
No.
So I've just spread my wings a bit.
Have you got any warmth for Port then, Jay?
No, just can't quite accept them.
You must be getting a lot of pleasure watching the way Melbourne are going about it at the moment. It's not easy for them, but they seem to be doing the right thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, hopefully we'll have another win today against Richmond. They've dropped a few players and brought a few ones in, so you know, hopefully we can get two wins up, and it's a good start to the season.
Yeah, well, especially after the shellacking everybody was queuing up to give them after round one. You would have thought Melbourne was the worst team that had ever played in the history of football after round one, and they've turned it around beautifully, haven't they?
Yeah, have, and good on them.
It's great to see. Jay, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Pleasure. Thanks for the phone call.
See you, Jay.
All the very best.
Thanks, Mike.
Jay Viney played 23 games for Melbourne with his brother Todd, who's an assistant coach at the Crows right now.
Even Adelaide people don't know where Fruville is.
I was going to say, they call it Fruville because people drive through it.
Oh, torch.
You're listening to the Could Have Been Champions. It's time for the quiz coming up, Billy's Bafflers. 1-300-222-774 is the number. 1-300-222-774.
It's hard to believe we've got time up our sleeve. Covey, stop the clock for a quick quiz or a prompt comp.
Oh, Unc, it's not Covey at all. It's Billy.
That's right, listeners. I'm filling in for Covey. Covey's still online. He can poke his nose in from Newcastle. I'm sure you will, Cove.
Yes, I'll be monitoring this segment very closely.
Billy does something that to us that he does, he's about to do everybody else, and that's baffle them. Come on, Bill.
Well, Ian generally starts off with an easy question, and I've done the same thing. Our first call is Tim in Bendigo. G'day, Tim.
Hello.
I've got an easy one for you. Nick Natanui blitzed again against the Dons last night. Does anyone call them the Dons anymore?
You do.
The Dons. Spell Natanui for me.
Yeah. N-A-T.
Incorrect.
No, sorry.
Nice to talk to you, Tim.
Bad luck, Tim.
Glenn's in Werribee. Hello, Glenn.
Good morning, boys. How are we all?
We're well, thank you. Can you spell Natanui?
N-A-I-T-A-N-U-I.
You bet.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well done.
Trap for young players there. Mm.
Now, as prefaced at the start of the program by Richo, Carl Dietrich had a similar immediate impact on the game upon debut. We mentioned what year that was. Do you recall, Glenn, what year Big Carl debuted for St Kilda?
Would have been in the 60s, I gather.
Yep. Yes.
Mm-hmm. 65.
Incorrect.
Oh, bad luck, Glenn.
Nice to talk to you, Glenn. Lachlan's out there in queue. Hello, Lachlan.
Hi, Cudders.
How old are you?
I'm 17.
All righty. Best of luck with this.
I don't think you'll remember this.
You might be able to recall through some sort of telepathy.
Well, I heard it was in the 60s.
That's right.
Would it be 1963?
It was.
Brilliantly done, Lachlan. Big Carl burst on the scene, a teenage ruckman. We haven't seen the likes of it since then, but we're seeing it now with Big Nick Natanui.
There's a bit of Stan the Statistician about Lachlan there.
Well done, yes. Lachlan.
All right.
I took a guess at that.
Well done. You shouldn't have let on.
An educated guess.
Can you ring back in about an hour's time?
Yeah.
Now, Lachlan. Yeah. Ian runs a good quiz. I'm just trying to make it a bit more literate, so I'm introducing poetry into the quiz today.
It doesn't feature a boy on a burning deck, does it?
It does, Ian. Lachlan, finish this poem using the correct Peter player's nickname. The boy stood on the burning deck, his pocket full of Peter Keenan, Peter Bezusto, or Peter Everett.
Peter Keenan?
Yes.
Yes, his pocket full of crackers.
Oh, that is magnificent.
Peter Bezusto would be his pocket full of buzz.
That's another guess.
Well, you're doing very well.
You're guessing beautifully.
That one was for you, Ian.
That is magnificent.
And Lachlan's batting with a beautiful average at the moment.
Yeah.
If I'm to take over next week, Billy, I might get one in about someone who played football at Horsham.
His mother said Jack. Now, Lachlan, have you been listening all morning?
Yeah, I listen to you every weekend.
Terrific.
Oh, good on you.
It shows in your accuracy of your answer.
And I listen to you during summer as well.
Oh, on Saturday night?
You're a good man.
Good on you, Lachlan. We just spoke to Todd Viney's brother prior to this segment. What's his Christian name or his first name?
I don't have a clue. I don't know about that.
Have a stab, because you're doing so well.
What was the question again?
What was Todd? What is Todd Viney's brother's name? We just spoke to him.
I want to have a clue. I'm going to have to pass. So
just have a guess, Lachlan. You've been guessing pretty well so far.
What was it, Todd?
Todd Viney. His brother was named
Christian name.
Fine.
Oh, bad luck.
No, I think we can bring in a new format here. Rather than answering the question, getting it wrong, Lachlan has taken a pass. That means he can come back next week.
Okay. Will you try again next week, Lachlan?
I'll try again next week.
Good. Good for you. Good
nice to talk to you. Young Max is down there in Red Hill. Hello, Max.
Hi.
Who do you barrack for?
Tigers.
Tigers.
Good for you, Max.
We just spoke to Todd Viney's brother. Do you recall his Christian name?
No.
Have a stab.
Have a guess.
Brink?
No, not a bad
Brent
guess.
Viney.
1-300-222-774 is the number. 1-300-222-774. It's Covey's quiz, but curated by me under the guise of Billy's Bafflers. Jamie's in Brunswick. Hello, Jamie.
How you going, lads?
Well done.
What's away?
Todd Viney.
Jay, wasn't it?
Yes.
Jay, correct. Jay. Good work, Jamie.
I was waiting for one of the contestants to say, what's it start with?
Yeah, no one sort of tossed out, can't you give me best of three, which I know you're often wont to do, Ian.
Well, the ABC is the home of the Jays. Next weekend is the Anzac Day round, Jamie. Mm-hmm. When is Mother's Day?
I don't know.
You hear that, Jamie's mum?
I've just tipped you into it, Jamie.
Every day's Mother's Day.
Oh, beautifully. No, you can't tell us?
No.
Great second effort.
Well, I'll tell you who should know, and that's Rosie from Surrey Hills. Are you a mother, Rosie?
No.
Okay. Do you know when Mother's Day is?
It's the 9th of May.
9th of May is
good
correct.
Good work, Rosie.
You know what I thought you would say? Nine months after Father's Day.
Working beautifully, Torchy. Rosie,
yeah.
Do you know who Geelong plays on Mother's Day? Do you follow
no.
the Cats?
No, I don't know.
Who do you follow?
Essendon.
Oh, okay. Gee, if you can get this right, because the next question's about Essendon in a bleak
have
way.
Have a go, Rosie, because really you've got a sort of a 1 in 14 chance
I'm
here.
Looking at torches.
They play Port this weekend at Stadium.
That's right.
So that's eliminated
the
another
May,
one.
Which is not next weekend. That's 3 weeks' time.
Yeah. Just sitting next to Torch here.
Brisbane.
No, bad luck, Rosie.
Hooroo.
Okay.
Ian's next? In Morwell. Hello, Ian.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Well, thanks. Do you know who Geelong plays on Mother's Day?
Yeah, well, I'm actually going to that game and I'm going to be on the president's table that day.
Whoa, you.
It's not what you know, it's who you know.
And who are Geelong playing?
And what do you know? Who do they play?
I know that I'm back for the Blues and they're playing Carlton.
That isn't the advice that I have.
We're just going to go.
I'll just double check that.
No, he's. They're playing Carlton on the Anzac Day Monday.
Make sure you go on the right day, Ian. Bad luck. Who's next, Billy?
Patrick in Bendigo. Hello, Patrick.
I've
been playing last post for his mother.
Who does Geelong play on Mother's Day?
I'll have a guess and say North Melbourne.
No.
Patrick, that would be wrong. Next up.
We've got your man, Paul in Winchelsea. Hello, Paul.
G'day, Billy.
Can you tell us who the Cats play? You must barrack for the Cats.
No, we're members of Geelong.
Okay.
And I looked at the draw, and I know it's either Sydney or Richmond.
Well, you're going to have to go for one of them.
Right. I reckon Sydney.
Sydney.
You're correct, Paul.
Correct.
And just before the news, the most famous footy mum is Mrs. Danaher. What's her first name?
Oh, no idea.
Oh, have a stab. Bad luck, Paul. Let's.
Faye.
No.
Oh, nice try.
See if John knows in Camperdown.
John in Camperdown.
Oh, no. That was Judy.
Oh, nice go. Nice.
Nah. Okay, thanks.
All right. Hooroo. Well, that means the prize jackpot,
Ian. It does.
Ian.
It's too important an answer to just let go. I think we're racing up to the news here. That's going to have to be a holdover question.
Well done, Billy.
Yeah, thank you,
Mother's Day is some
see if Jared
away.
Knows.
driving up and down for a big day at the big game, then pick us up. Thumbs out on the gravel lane of your wireless, hitching a ride into town, laying it down, pumping it up, turning the game on its head. You wouldn't be dead for quids, kids, with the coulda beans flipping your lids.
Thanks, Unc, and you're back with the Coulda Been Champions on ABC Local Radio with me, Jeff Richardson, you, Greg Champion.
Yes, that's me. Hi.
Online in Newcastle, we have Ian Cover.
Good afternoon, footy fans.
It's good afternoon to Torch McGee.
Yes, good afternoon, and to everyone out there.
And to Billy Baxter.
Hello there, everyone. Jeffy, listeners and colleagues. I might just point out we left a question unanswered.
That's right. We have a holdover question from the quiz.
The most famous footy mum is Mrs. Danaher. What is her first name? Of course, the first name is Edna.
Of course.
Yes, for all those folks who are ringing in. Yeah.
So the quiz jackpot's to next week. Mm. A huge round of footy started last night with the big car-like apparition of Big Nick Natanui. Grandstand bringing you all the action as they do every weekend. And in just under an hour's time, we'll be swinging down to the Dark Lands where it's great the way the number of teams that have been written off as hopeless this year. It's now becoming a weekly occurrence. North Melbourne were the latest ones to have done it. And they're playing the Swans. And down there in position, memorising numbers, is Jared Waitley. Jared, hello.
Richo, there's a log jam for 12 to 16. They're queuing up to fill those slots. But, maybe not 16, maybe 12.
Every week, aside being written off as hopeless and the worst team that's perhaps ever been seen, and then they come out the following week and blitz. Which the real story is West Coast Eagles against North Melbourne, then the following week against Essendon, two different teams.
Yes, yes. Well, you don't need to expand your judgments beyond what happens in front of you. The way they butchered the ball last week was genuinely alarming, and they are a little bit better in possession last night. So they beat Essendon, who are poor on the road and have been for some amount of time, and I didn't think that was overly surprising, to be honest. It was only a four-goal result, so...
In the end, it looked like it was really going to be horrible at one stage.
Yeah, it felt like a bigger margin than that. But
now, Jared, 1963, how old were you?
No, I was minus 11.
Now, that was when teenage ruckman, 17-year-old Carl Dittrich, burst on the scene, and all the headlines screamed the blonde bombshell, and he dominated in the ruck. I had to go back that far to find a time when a teenage ruckman has been able to impact a game the way that Big Nick did last night.
I probably wouldn't argue the toss with you there. He plays in an exciting manner, so perhaps he looks more influential than he actually is, because he takes your breath away just getting the tap, and it mightn't even be a tap to advantage, but just the way he leaps up over the top of much bigger men is thrilling to watch.
Oh, and there's a bit of the Jim Steins about it too. Even if the tap's not to advantage, he'll just go and get it again himself and run off with it.
Yeah, he's going to be worth watching for the next decade, isn't he?
He breaks a pack. He bursts a pack very nicely.
Or the pack is looking in the other direction and he's off. He's extraordinary.
Yeah, it's interesting. When we first watched him last year, I can remember thinking, you know, he was the two-year-old colt who had all the talent in the world and had no idea really what he was doing, but you could see all the raw material. And I remember during the pre-season saying on Offsiders that they'd developed this training method where he would run around with a mobile phone during match simulation at training, and they would literally instruct him what to do at each moment. So they're teaching him football, which I think is a remarkable thing. And then in that paper, that story bobbed up again this week in the paper. But he knows a lot more about what he's doing in a football sense now than he did last year when he first
and
burst onto the
you
scene.
Saw it last night. And of all the sort of peripheral non-football brouhaha stories we had to put up with all week, and there were plenty of them, the one that perhaps looked the most trivial was the mobile phone one. But really, you make a very good point, Jared. The devices are banned, and they're banned for a reason. You don't need a mobile phone. You could have a small little earpiece. Every player could be wearing one and receiving instructions all the time. It's
how do you
technically
know they're not?
Possible. Yeah.
The art of coaching is very interesting, and there are all sorts of different ways to go about it. But sometimes you have to teach somebody the mechanics of playing the game and harness the raw material.
And the best time to do it is when you're actually in a game, or as happened with him, in a practice match.
Yes, well, the only way to do it, really, is at training in match simulation, isn't it?
So now, Jared, just turn your mind back 20 years.
Yeah.
If he debuted now, he'd be having one of those big brick-like mobile phones. He'd be doing weight training at the same time, Jared.
But it's a massive difference running
run
around.
Run left, run right.
Running around a practice game with a mobile phone up against your phone, don't underestimate how powerful that could be. I was talking with Damien Hart Hardwick just yesterday, and he was saying this, well, you know, your players do things on the field, and commentators, supporters alike all go, oh, what did he do that for? He says, well, you bring them to the bench and you say, what did you do that for? And they say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, the best, of course, was the human mobile phone, was when crackers used to run around on the ground with Jimmy Starr.
That's right.
When he was practicing, and telling him where to run
to. Exactly right, Covey. That's exactly what they did.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Jerry, on a slightly different tack. Is there any reason why we can't have two games on a Friday night, particularly if one is starting at nearly 9 o'clock over in WA?
Oh, we would run out of games, I suppose.
Well, there's all these people sitting around the beautiful balmy autumn night in Melbourne and no footy to go to.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need the Sunday twilight game then.
That's right. Just imagine that.
There's only four for the year that aren't in Melbourne on a Friday night, two in Perth and two in Adelaide, I think. So that's reasonable.
It's all about TV. It's not about people going to the football.
It's not about you on a balmy night having a nice night going to the football.
That's how we can sell the rights.
No one cares about that. Jared, who is joining you pre-match?
We will be speaking with Drew Petrie, who's the injured kangaroo, and they would be very eager to have him back just for an insight into what's happening at North Melbourne. And we'll also be joined by the next coach of the Sydney Swans, John Longmire. That is a succession plan that's working very, very well, if you don't believe in the other one.
And, Jared, we are seeing a lot of emails asking, are you going to back the Dockers?
It's such a good question. Not this week. I'm penning a follow-up song. Chance, you'll be the first to know.
You're beauty. The last one
did
was...
you start penning it during the last 8 minutes of last Sunday's game?
No, as I think I said to you last week, had Freo not been playing Geelong, I would have fallen off the wagon last week. But the song wasn't ready and the cats were going round, so I didn't have to address it. But I will be addressing it in the
Well, it's all set up because it's the last game of the round. You've got to stagger all the way to the twilight game on the Sunday night, and they've got the Saints at the Docklands. So if ever they were set to sort of let you down.
Well, I'll tell you something, Cody. As soon as Jared gets on Fremantle, we'll all go.
I might say, just mentioning the Cats, you're not coming down tomorrow, Jared?
No, I am rostered onto the twilight game here, so I'll miss the flag unfurling.
Yeah, and it might be worth mentioning to listeners who might be making their way tomorrow, the game starts at 2:10 as usual. But at 1:35 is when the actual pre-match stuff starts, with Tommy Harley doing a lap of honour. The opening of the new premiership stand and the unfurling of the flag. So that's all from 1:35. So it's a case of arrive early.
It's a full program, isn't it?
And, Jared, I hope they're arriving early there at the Darklands where you are. You'll be in just a very short while calling the North Melbourne Swans game. I'd love to see a few good old Keep South at South people and some shin boners actually turn up to this game.
Oh, there'll be a lot of Swans here. It's their first venture to Melbourne this year. I'm really looking forward to getting a look at them firsthand. They look clearly like a final eight side, and they might be even better than that. So they have a very strong following in Melbourne, and we've seen that at times when they've made their charge in recent years. And I think there'll be a lot of Swannies here.
Yeah, which puts the pressure on the North Melbourne supporters.
Yeah, yeah. Mind you, I didn't like what was said during the week. You can be way too harsh on people, I think. Buying a membership is not an obligation, and it is a financial commitment. And I think to belt people around the ears over it is a bit rich.
Yes, which once again puts it all sort of on show a bit today, doesn't it? When we see who turns up. Jared, thank you and good calling.
Cheers.
See you, Jared.
You're with the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio, and joining us now online is the five-time Helen Lambert medalist, champion of the Victorian Women's Football League. The VWFL starts back this weekend with round one. And Shannon McFerrin, you've got some news of your own for us. Good afternoon, Shannon.
Good Good afternoon, guys. How are you going?
We're all right.
How about yourself?
I'm all right. All good.
At the moment, but you've been through a bit of a setback and you won't be playing this year.
Yeah, unfortunately I can't play this year. Last year I discovered I had a brain tumour, which I had removed in December. And that's put me out for the season. But, you know, hopefully I'll come back bigger and better in 2011. I think my body was due for a rest. So I'm looking forward to having a bit of a break and taking on a different role.
So, Shannon, let's get this straight. The end of last year's footy season, you found out, oh, you've had a brain tumour. You've now had that successfully removed. You just think that'll keep you out of footy for just the one season?
Yeah, look.
You're a marvel.
I'm hoping so anyway. I'm hoping so.
And the tumour was benign.
It was, yeah, correct. So it was just one of those things, unfortunately.
Go ahead, Anne.
I was going to say, was it something that troubled you during the year at all, or just after the footy season? What happened?
No, I've been misdiagnosed with something else for the last 10 years of my life. I'd had hearing loss in my left ear, and finally went back to the audiologist who said that my hearing had pretty much deteriorated in the left ear. So I went for a fresh MRI and discovered that I had an acoustic neuroma, which is a benign brain tumour, and that was in March last year. So by the time, you know, you sort of go to the neurosurgeon and do all that, it was, wasn't until December that I actually had it removed. So, and that was all successful, and I'm looking forward to, you know, getting back on the track and having a run around.
Shan, did that affect your balance at all?
Yes, yeah. That was probably one of the hardest things, obviously, learning to balance and walk again. So it was pretty tough earlier on this year, but I've come along in leaps and bounds. So
are you running now?
Good. Yeah. Look, just doing bits and pieces. I get pretty tired. So I'm up to 2 laps at the most, but I'm doing well.
And what's your involvement with the VWFL going to be during this recovery year?
Yeah, look, I'm still been lucky enough that they're allowed me to be part of the academy. So I'm still down there with all the girls and able to be a part of that. I've taken on a different role at St Albans. I'm on the sidelines helping out with the coaching. Just coach our youth girls as well, and we just actually finished, so they just had a win for their first game, so that was great. I'm just looking forward to actually being able to give something back to my teammates as well.
Shannon, two of the girls in the local shopping centre, one in the fruit and veg, one in the deli, both play footy.
Yep.
The girl in the deli's at Diamond Creek, and the girl in the fruit shop is in the youth team. So I gather that the youth, eight teams are in the youth league. How many is that, Shannon?
In the Western Region Youth Girls Competition, there's 6.
Yep.
Basically, then there's one out at Diamond Creek have a team. There's a South East Competition, the Northern Competition.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I meant the Northern League. They play all the youth games in one oval on one day.
Yeah, that's right. I'm down at Kensington at the moment, and all the Western Region girls play out here.
They start at 9 in the morning? And they
start early, right through to lunch.
Well, that's a lot of women playing footy, and that's just great for footy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And you're the 5-time Hallett Lambert medalist. I'm wondering if somewhere down the line they might introduce the Shannon McFerrin medal for most courageous player in the league. Because to blithely suggest that after such a major operation that you'll be retaining your fitness and ball skills for next season... Well, I don't doubt that you would, Shannon, but, gee, you've, in that tiny body of yours, you've got a huge ticker.
Yeah, look, I just love footy, and it's something that I got, brought up doing, and encouragement from family and friends and stuff like that. So, you know, these things, you get challenges thrown at you each year, but it's just good that, I'm able to have a whole, bunch of teammates around me who have supported me as well and have welcomed me back on the track.
Yep, terrific. Oh,
and the great thing is that for everyone else playing in the competition, there's an opportunity to win the medal this year because you won't be hogging.
Are you listening, Daisy?
Yes, where's Daisy?
Yeah, no, Daisy won last year, and she's a fantastic player out at Darabin, and she had a really good season, so that was all right for her.
Yeah.
Shannon, thanks so much for joining us, the Savo. It's an astonishing story, and I hope you'll speak to us again before the season's done this year.
Definitely will, guys.
No, terrific to hear from you. Shannon McFerrin there, one of the legendary players in the Victorian Women's Football League, which goes from strength to strength, as you heard. You're with the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio. Lots of people I know have been wondering just how Torch's tips turned out last week. Let's find out, and on the way through, let's find out Torch's tips for this week. Torch, what is the investment window for this weekend?
The investment window is for tonight's Collingwood Hawthorn clash.
Oh, that right? provides a bit that of interest,
clash, isn't it? And that at the MCG tonight. You have to be on by 7:10 p.m.
Yes, yeah. It's the early start if you're thinking of going to that game.
That's
Don't
right.
get caught out. The 10 past 7.
10 past 7.
Torch, are you going to tell us that we got 3 out of 4 last week?
We got the famous three-legged quaddie last week, Covey. Unfortunately, my reading of the pattern of the play was that Carlton would still be in front at halftime. That didn't happen. Essendon got to the front, got their noses in front at halftime, and
we're never headed.
We're never headed after that.
That's all right, we're still ahead for the year.
We are ahead for the year, but it would have been nice to land two in a row. You know, as something.
Very true.
Yes,
but your instincts were right. Just the margins.
Just the margin was slightly.
But that's what the quarter quads are.
You know, how I could have got it if I had have gone 1, 2, and 9 in the second quarter.
And people mock 1, 2, and 9.
That's right.
It delivers.
It does deliver. That's right. Stick with the tried and true. Go straight up the guts. And that's what we're doing tonight. In fact, with the Collingwood Hawthorn game, it's been very emotional down at Collingwood this week.
Yes.
I've read something about the brouhaha.
Yeah, it's been an emotional seesaw.
I actually
seesaw.
Do expect the Pies to bounce back.
It's a Collingwood home game, isn't it?
It is a Collingwood home game. And I think Hawthorn are probably a bit undermanned, a bit depleted, and therefore I expect the Collingwood might win and win quite comfortably.
Okay.
So I'm going 1 and 2 in the first quarter, which is Collingwood to lead by up to 24 points. Stretch that to 2 and 3 in the second quarter,
mm-hmm.
which is Collingwood to be between 13 and 36.
Yep.
2, 3, and 4 in the third quarter.
Extending.
And then you're out, yes, and going on with the business in the last quarter. 3, 4, and 5.
So 1, 2, and 9 is out the window.
Well, no, 1, 2, and 9. It's all one-way traffic. Collingwood to win. 1 and 2 in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
2 and 3 in the second quarter. 2, 3, and 4 in the third quarter. 3, 4, and 5 in the final quarter. I think Collingwood will dominate the ruck. And also, some of those blokes in the forward line didn't get a touch last week. Might bob up and kick
Torchy,
a few goals.
I only want to put 50 cents on. How much will that cost
if
me?
If you put on a 50 cent unit and you have all those numbers, Billy, it'll cost you
$18.
Okay, and you can get down to your lucky shop and put it on there.
That is Torch's tips for this round. You are with the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio. Coming right up now, Julian Ross's Club Championship.
From the Yanks to Torquay, from the Mallee to the Grampians, Prof Julian Ross puts the best of the best to the test, lest ye forget the club champions.
Four men are named Stephen Wright. The first, the great lead singer of the Easy Beats. The next, the deadpan American comedian. Then, the former Richmond CEO. The fourth, the South Melbourne Rover, Stevie Wright, from Oakley Districts, at the time in South Suburban Zone. Wright was a compact 171 and 73. Though judges believed him too small for league football, the compact man proved them all wrong. At South, Stevie wore the number 26 jumper, made famous by Torch McGee. Wright's first game, 1979, described as a cheeky redhead. His first season was terrific. No sign of second-year blues. Stevie was tough and courageous, shoehorned into packs and took plenty of punishment in the process. Taller teammates on the outside called to Wright for a hand pass through about 8 opponents. The ginger nut admired for his consistency. When it was shown South in a financial mire, league heavies decided solvency meant shifting the club to Sydney. Wright, unhappy at the move. He was emotional at the prospect of an uncertain future. The guy bowed to the inevitable, played great footy at the SCG. In 1983, Wright suffered a major knee injury. Out for a year, bounced back, firing on all cylinders. State of origin appealed to the Rover, a member of the New South Wales team that knocked off Victoria in the Sydney slush. Steve's brother Michael, 40 appearances for South, 1978 to 1980. Wright retired in 1992. 246 games, 247 goals. Mental arithmetic? One sausage a week. Stevie joined VFA club Box Hill, where his father John had accumulated a record number of games. Stevie Wright, one of the most famous blokes with that name.
Thanks, Julian. And joining us online now here on the Could Have Been Champions is Steve Wright, one of the players who played on both sides of that really amazing divide when we look back on it now. It was the start of modern footy as we know it, where we had a season with South Melbourne and then all of a sudden they were playing in Sydney. Now it seems such a long time ago. Welcome to the Could Have Been, Steve.
How are you?
We're very well. How are you?
Oh, I'm excellent. Yes, no problems whatsoever.
Now, Steve, just going back to what Julian said in that intro, I remember seeing footage of you being very emotional about the move to Sydney. What exactly was your thoughts about it when it first was mooted that you'd move up to Sydney?
Oh, no, I certainly wanted to go. I was actually working for the football club as promotions officer, so I knew everything that was going on, and I knew there was no future for us here. And the problem was I thought we weren't going to go. So that's why I was upset. I didn't have a football club, I didn't think, and I didn't have a job. So I suppose it was like the world was caving in on me.
I remember that very well, Steve. There was a photograph of you in the newspapers the next day when it was pretty clear that you felt that if the Sydney move didn't happen, that the whole South Melbourne world was going to collapse.
Well, that's correct. Correct. I suppose it's a little bit embarrassing, but that was my feelings for the football club. That it was my life. You know, as I said, I was working there and playing football there, so it meant everything to me.
Have you still got a copy of that photo?
I think Mum has.
and then, of course, arriving in Sydney, which was really foreign territory in those days. And did you didn't have any facilities at all when you got there, did you?
No, we were certainly promised them. We were promised the world. You know, you go to Sydney, you'll have a leagues club, you'll be the richest club in the competition. Life will be rosy, you'll win premierships. So it was all painted very nicely. But once we got there, it was nothing. We were handed a street directory and someone gave us a lend of a car and said, find yourself somewhere to live. And
where did you find yourself somewhere to live, Steve?
Well, I was very lucky. I went up there and, Dave Rees-Jones, who was following in a couple of weeks, said, can you find me somewhere too? So I had two houses to find, but we were down Cronulla Way, which was just down past the airport. We knew we were going to be using the airport a fair bit, so we chose to live there.
And where did you train initially?
We trained at the showgrounds, but then it got fairly bad where we used to have to ring up every day and say, well, where are we training and, what sort of facilities have we got? And we'd be told on the day that you have to go here and train there. And one stage we trained at SCG number 2 and they had a cricket game on the main ground, so they parked the cars on the number 2 oval and we trained in between them.
Everybody else looking on from afar at the time had no idea any of this was going on, but meanwhile the side was transforming into almost a cult team, everybody's second team, because you owned Sunday afternoons on the telly.
That's correct. People would say that we enjoy watching the football on Sunday and enjoy the Swans because we can watch them. So we did become everyone's second team, and I suppose a little bit people felt sorry for us that we were shunted off. But it was good times, and what you see now of the national competition, we were the pioneers.
Yeah. And one thing that has happened in the time, Steve, and I'm sure you're very pleased to have seen it happen, is that all the division of the time now seems to be forgotten. All the people who were opposed to the move do seem to have come back to the red and white.
The current board and the management over the last, I suppose, 10 years have done a fantastic job. And we are one club now. I consider that South Melbourne and the Sydney Swans are the one club, and the functions that we have together and things are excellent. So they've done a great job.
I'm just wondering, Stevie, you won two club best and fairest in 1985 and 1990, but in both those years you didn't poll very well in the Brownlow medal. Were you a bit lippy towards the umpires, were you?
I wouldn't say I was lippy. I didn't make too many friends with the opposition, though.
Well, I've noticed that as well.
Yeah, I probably did the job that our club wanted, but as for umpires' votes, no, I don't think I was that sort of player.
But you were certainly in and on top of the ball quite a lot. You would have come under their gaze, and I think even though you were hard at the ball and the opposition, you played always very skillfully and fairly.
Oh, yeah. What I wanted to do is I wanted to be the player that our players wanted to play with, but the player that the opposition didn't want to play against.
Oh. Now, Steve, during those early and very tumultuous years of the Sydney Swans, and you played through that more than a decade, some of the greatest names in football were associated with the club. You would have been coached by Ron Barassi and Tom Hafey. Tell us about those blokes.
I unfortunately missed out on Ron Barassi.
Oh, you Ron came just after you finished?
Yeah. But certainly Tom Hafey, I coached a little bit after playing football, and I use some of his methods, and he's just a fantastic person and fantastic coach, and I still keep in contact with Tom, and I'm lucky to be on his telephone list, so he gives me a call every so often.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but he's just a great man, just not just football, but how to spend your life.
In fact, if you look at the list, you went through quite a few coaches in your time at the Swans. Can you remember how many you actually had?
Seven or eight, because we had
Bob Hammond.
Bob Hammond was very good. We had Tony Franklin for a couple of weeks, who took over from Ricky Quade.
That's right.
Yeah, John Norley.
Yeah, and of course you would have started with Ian Stewart.
Ian Stewart, yes, very smart man. Some of the ideas he was telling us then was coming out in football, 10 and 12 years later.
Sure. Yeah, and you look back at the footage of Stewie as a player, he'd dominate today, wouldn't he? He was amazing.
Oh, well, he was such a good ball getter, but also very courageous, and he could mark for his size.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful delivery.
Now, Steve, before we let you go, this current crop of Swans, Sydney seemed to do the best of anybody at the trade table last year before the draft. What do you reckon? What are their chances this year?
I think their chances are quite good because I think they'll win most of their games at the SCG. But it's just not the players that kick, it's the culture that they've now set up for the footy club, that players come in where they mightn't have been the greatest players at their former clubs. They just come in and fall under the culture of Kirk and Bolton, and away they go.
Yeah, the fellow I saw playing for them last Saturday night up at the SCG was on Hawthorne's list for a while, and all of a sudden he was extraordinary. McGlinty. Yeah, tremendous. And he's an example of what you talk about there. I can hear whistles going in the background and everything. Where are you?
I'm actually watching Oakley Districts and Lindale. This is my first year out of probably 43 years I haven't been involved with any football club, so I'm just down here. My son's playing for Oakley Districts in the Southern League.
Keeping up a family tradition. I was going to ask you, when you moved up to Sydney, did you have David Rees-Jones living with you?
No.
What about Warwick Capper?
I had Warwick living with me when he came back to Sydney. He went to Brisbane and came back. At that stage, I had three kids, and I class him as another kid. Well, he's the one I had to look after the most.
Well, Steve, thank you so much. And from your position there, just looking out over the Oakley District ground, watching the juniors, enjoy your football.
Thank you.
Bye, Steve. Thanks so much. Steve Wright, a Foundation Sydney Swan. You are with the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio. Time now for Could Have Been's Footy Talk Back. Your chance to talk to Torch.
Torchy McGee will talk to you. Gee, he's poised, fit to pounce on the blower. No need to be coy. Just give him a hoy. Torchy's talk back. All clear. It's a goer.
Thanks, Unc. And there's a couple of lines free here, but we'll see if we can get through a few and free some up for you if you want to talk to Torch. First caller, go ahead, please. You're talking to Torch.
Hello.
Please, may I talk to Mr. McGee, please?
Yes, you're talking to him. Who's calling, please?
It's Lance.
Lance, where are you calling from, Lance?
Home.
Home, and where do you live?
Yeah.
Well, which part of Australia?
In the bungalow.
Okay. Which part of Australia are you calling from, Lance?
Home.
Okay, we'll move on. Have you got a football question for us?
Lara.
Lara, down off the Geelong Road.
Mr. McGee, I was just wondering what the name of the new premiership stand in Geelong would be called.
It's called the premiership stand.
Yeah, what are they going to call that?
I think they're going to call it the premiership stand.
Yeah, but have they got a name for it?
Not as far as I know. Only
I know David Mensch Stadium stand hasn't been taken by anyone, I noticed.
There's an idea.
That's a good idea. Yeah, well,
did you know if they were going to call it that, or is it going to be a surprise?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'd have to talk to the club officials, Lance. But
I'll wait here then, will I?
Okay. Yeah, let's fight. We'll fight. You stay tuned, Lance.
Put me on hold.
Well, okay, we'll find out. Wouldn't that be Trent?
Put some music on.
Okay. The David Mensch Stadium. That's got a ring to it, hasn't it?
It has been good.
You're talking to Torch here on Good Events Footy Talk Back. Go ahead, please. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Who's calling?
Hello, Torch.
Yeah, who's calling, please?
It's Barry here, Torch.
Barry, calling from?
The Barossa Valley.
Oh, the beautiful Barossa Valley.
Yes, I'm just ringing up to say, I've heard a bit of a rumour this morning.
Really?
Or news reports that there was actually an earth tremor last night in Adelaide.
Really?
Yes.
No, we haven't had that reported to us over here
People
in Melbourne.
People say it was being felt from St Agnes to Mylor, from Mano Para to Largs Bay.
Really?
Well, they are half an hour behind.
Well, all I know is last night about 11:30, about the time of this reported earth tremor.
Yes.
Kim cranked up the home theatre sound system. We were playing the 1812 overture.
Oh, right. Yes. So you think it might have been the subwoofer,
Didn't
Barry.
Feel anything. I'm worried about the Ravens.
Oh, yes. They're not travelling too well at the moment, Barry.
No, I fear for the Ravens. I fear they're going down the same track as Williamson's Dog's Head Bay, as Lloyd Webber's Chess. And as Manning Clark's History of Australia.
Well, yes.
The season
they're
might...
going to finish early.
Close the season early.
It's the curtain's going to come down.
Okay. Well, it's happened before.
Yes, Barry. Well, look, let's hope that they can pick themselves up and get on with the show.
I think audiences might vote with their
feet. Okay, Barry.
Look, we share your worries there, Barry, but look, they're a professional outfit down there at West Lakes. Thanks for the call, Barry. Look, we'll go to the next caller. Go ahead, please. You're talking to Torch.
Hello.
Hey, Torch.
Oh, who's this?
Nige here, Torch.
Nige. Yeah. Nige. Where are you calling from, Nige?
I'm just, I'm on the mobile at my share house in North Fitzroy.
Really? And do you follow the football, Nige?
No, I don't really follow it. I'm a little bit above the football, Torch.
So,
lowbrow for me, man.
Yeah. So do you have a team that you're interested in?
I think I told you once before that I was told I had to have a team, so I chose Fremantle to be ironic.
Could you explain what it's ironic about supporting Fremantle?
I mean, it's Fremantle.
Say no more.
I just wanted to say, Torch, that I was in, I was part of a junior delegation in Copenhagen last year for the Convention on Climate Change.
Really?
And I met Ivo de Boer from the UN, and I'm really pleased that he's lining up on the bench for the Dockers this week.
Okay, thanks. yes.
Yeah,
it could be, Evo. No,
things have changed down there at Fremantle. Right, Jared needs to pay attention to what young people are saying.
That's right, yes.
Next caller, you're talking to Torch. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Torch, mate.
Oh, who's this?
Wayne, mate, out to one turner.
Yeah, Wayne, now.
How you going, mate?
Oh, good. Who do you barrack for in the footy?
Tigers, mate.
The mighty Tigers.
I'm Victory We Fried. Eat them alive, mate.
Yes.
Drink and drive like a bloody idiot.
Did you go up
and seen the Tigers up there in Sydney. You got down there.
You went up to Sydney?
You got that Sydney down there?
Yeah, we have, yes. Did you go
went
up there?
There?
Yeah, did you go
up there? I went on the turfs with some of her boys.
Oh, did you, Wayne?
I got to fess up.
Yeah, go on.
He was taking a rap for me, mate. Okay. I punched a bludger in the eye.
Okay, Wayne.
It was his hook. He wouldn't cough up, talking.
He wouldn't shout.
Wouldn't shout of a shark with him. Hey, I got a question from Fuzz Nuts.
Yes.
We're listening to that news. Where can we get some of that volcanic hash? What do you got down there?
I think you'll have to go to Iceland.
It's out of business, mate. We want some of that volcanic hash you got down there. You got some of that down there at Channel 2, mate?
I think ring the Iceland consul and see what he says.
You got his number, mate. Jitter in a major.
We'll give it to you off air.
Well, he might be with that bloke on the bench for the Dockers. That's all the calls we've got time for this week on Good Events Talkback. Thanks for those. If you're unable to get on, perhaps better luck next week. It's time now to cross down to the temple. I think Mark's got the line up. The Guru's coming in. I think he's there.
Oh, Guru Bob.
Where are you?
You're in
Hey, are you out in the bush there, Guru Bob?
No, I'm not.
You're not?
No. I'm with Macca. I'm down at the club.
Oh, really? Which club would that be?
Just a minute. What club is this? No, light beer. I'm at the Rooty Hill RSL.
Oh, right. I didn't
know. You know what?
Yes.
There's a really good feeling around the club. No, light beer for me, not heavy.
Okay. Yeah, and what have your prognostications been this week?
Well, look, I just want to tell you, I'll go back to the temple soon.
Yes.
Because the Supreme Master says NGAB.
Which stands for?
He says, I'm not a good advertisement for Buddhism.
Oh, okay.
And you know what, Dodgy?
Yes.
I listened to Hassan Mann on your show.
Yes.
When he said about the Norm Smith.
Yes.
He said he was tough but fair.
Right.
Hassan Mann should try hanging out with Macca. Tough but unfair. Think about that.
I will think about that, Garuba.
Thanks very much, Garuba. That's it for this weekend's edition of the Could Have Been Champions. Ian Cover in Newcastle, good afternoon to you.
Go Cats tomorrow.
And it's good afternoon to Greg Champion.
Oh, Crows this afternoon. Come on, Crows.
They're playing again. Imagine that. George McGee, good afternoon
to you.
Yeah,
go the Bloods this afternoon.
Billy Baxter.
Enjoy your football.
It's good afternoon from me, Jeff Richardson. You have been listening to the Could Have Been Champions. Stay tuned now for ABC Grandstand, bringing you all the football for the rest of the weekend. Thanks to Mark and Andy in the booth. And thanks to you for listening.